This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show. Thanks for joining me this week for another 60 minutes of radio drama. We'll begin with the Gulf Screen Guild Theater this week and Brother Orchid from February 16th, 1941. After that, it's Frank Sinatra and Rocky Fortune and The Doctor's Dilemma, his story from March 2nd, 1954.
Pat O'Brien, Carol Landis, Donald Crisp.
The Gulf Screen Guild Theater. Your host, the director of the Star's own theater, Roger Pryor.
Good evening, everyone. Your neighborhood Good Gulf dealer and the Gulf Oil Companies welcome you to the Gulf Screen Guild Theater. You know, frequently here in the Gulf Theater, we try to do some switch casting to present your favorite stars in the sort of roles you don't expect them to play. Well, tonight, we've got a real switch for you. It's Pat O'Brien as a New York gangster, Carol Landis, Hollywood's newest star discovery as his gun moll, and Donald Crisp in the role which he created in the screenplay, Brother Orchid. That's tonight's offering from the Gulf Theater. Pat O'Brien, Donald Crisp, and Carol Landis in Brother Orchid. Adapted by Charles Tazewell, and with music by Oscar Bradley's Gulf Orchestra with Frank Tours conducting. In just a moment, our stars will be on stage, and I'll set the scene for tonight's play. Before that, however, I'd like to take you back to 2 days ago, when the postman was handing out envelopes with big red hearts inside them. I imagine most of those envelopes were addressed to the children. But if there had been one in the bunch addressed to the family automobile, care of the Jones family, I'll bet that right in the center of the lace border had motor oil. Because during the cold weather, there isn't any better Valentine for your automobile than Gulf Pride. Your friend, the Gulf dealer, knows that. In fact, many Gulf dealers have had their windows trimmed with a big red heart and a good stock of Gulf Pride motor oil. You see, Gulf Pride gives your car the two things it needs most for winter driving. It lets your motor start quickly and easily even when it's stone cold. Then, after the engine warms up, it lubricates better. Because Gulf's exclusive Alclor process has removed up to 20% of the easy oxidizers found in many other premium oils. No wonder Gulf Pride is the best-selling premium oil in Gulf's marketing territory. No wonder it's such a fine oil for your car. Gulf Pride Motor Oil. Ladies and gentlemen, Pat O'Brien, Carol Landis, and Donald Crisp are just entering from stage left, and the audience bursts into applause. Now the house lights fade, all but a single spotlight on our Gulf microphones, and here's the opening theme for the Gulf Screen Guild Theater production of Brother Orchid. In tonight's play, you'll hear Donald Crisp as the Brother Superior at the Monastery of the Little Brothers of the Flowers, Carol Landis as Flo Adams, Pat O'Brien as Big John Sarto, and I'll step into the role of a rival gangster, Philadelphia Powell.
Flash, things I'd like to witness from behind a bulletproof vest. The meeting between Big John Sarto and Philadelphia Powell, which will soon take place. Big John Sarto, former top man of the rackets, was graduated today from Alcatraz after a 5-year semester. He's headed this way, and it is rumored he's gunning for Philadelphia Powell, who has securely installed himself as head of all Big John's former rackets. When asked for a statement, Big John spoke as follows, quote,
nuts,
unquote. Flash, what man was seen with which woman at what club, when, and by whom?
Okay, Bob. Thanks for lugging the luggage. Here's a dime. Go buy your old lady a farm.
Listen, Mr. Sarto, I get 2 bits for carrying bags off a plane.
2 bits, ain't that kind of steep?
Ain't in business for me help. I gotta pay protection to Philadelphia Powell.
Oh, yeah?
Here you are, mister. Park Avenue 53rd. It's too much 20 in a meter.
$2.20. You ought to have a gun instead of a taxi.
Look, I gotta split this dough 3 ways, don't I? 1/3 to me, 1/3 to the company, and 1/3 to Philadelphia Power for protection.
Uh-oh.
This way, sir.
Okay, Bob.
This is Miss Florence Adams' apartment, 8B.
Thanks. Here's 2 bits for your trouble.
Sorry, sir, but I can't accept any gratuity less than 50 cents.
4 bits? Now listen, Bell Hopper.
Sorry, sir, but I have to live, and I have to pay dues to the Protective Association owned by a Mr. Philadelphia Powell.
Philadelphia Powell? That's all I heard since I come into this town. And I'm getting kind of sore.
Well, what do you want? Johnny!
Hello, Flo.
Oh, darling, 5 years you've been gone. Oh, Johnny, I'm...
All right, never mind the hysterics. Come on, let me in.
Oh, sure, sure. I'm just so happy I don't know what I'm doing. Oh, gee, you don't know how I've missed you.
Yeah, I bet. Wait a minute.
Well, what's the matter, Big John? What are you looking at the hatback for?
Because I want to see if Philadelphia Powell's moved in here like he's moved in on the rest of the town.
Oh, Johnny, you know he ain't my type. Johnny.
What?
You ain't kissed me yet.
Oh, okay. I'll get around to it. First, I got something important to do. Gotta slap this Philadelphia Powell down to his right size. How do you like that guy? Can't turn my back for 5 years without his trying to double-cross me.
Oh, look, honey. Why not let him have the racket? It ain't often a racketeer can retire in front of the bars.
Retire? Me?
Yeah, Big John. Oh, I don't want things like they used to be. Every time the phone rang, every time somebody knocked on the door, I got the needles thinking something had happened to you. You can live easy from now on if you forget about Philadelphia Powell. He's bad news, Johnny. Honest to you.
Well, he ain't gonna be much longer, babe. Besides, I ain't got enough dough to live easy. They took me to the cleaners while I was in the Bastille. Now look, babe, this is as much for you as it is for me. When I get on top again, we'll do what we always planned. Get married. Have a big wedding. Choice wedding, too.
Gee. I ain't been in a church since the day your brother was planted.
Yeah. Yeah, all right. Come on now. Got to keep our minds on important things. Where does this Philadelphia Powell hang out?
Oh, he's got a roadhouse over in Jersey.
Okay. Slap that proof basket on your head. We're shoving off.
Wait till I go in the next room and pat on my nose, will you? Look at the magazine for a minute.
Okay, step on it.
Okay. Gee, where'd you see Powell's joint? He's got a new sign with a Tommy gun shooting out letters to spell his name.
Don't say. Let's see here. Woman's Home Companion. Matter with my myself. Woman's World. True Detective. Send in 24 coupons and get a Dick Tracy badge.
Yes, sir, and you should get a load of Powell's trophy room, too. He's got the bullet that dug out of Bugsby's left leg. And the concrete block Spike was wearing at the bottom of the East River.
Yeah. Gee, only 24 coupons. Who's that?
Hello, Johnny.
Philadelphia Powell.
Sure, it's me. And don't raise your voice.
How'd you get in here?
Ain't you never heard of fire escapes? And tell that dame of yours she ought to keep her windows locked.
What do you want?
You're all alone, Johnny. This is a good chance for us to have a little talk.
Take that rod out of my back. I'll listen.
It's warm in here. What do you say you and me step outside a few minutes?
I'm comfortable here.
But I'm not. The wallpaper makes me nervous. My hands are kind of shaking. You know what I mean?
Okay, I'll go.
I can't wait to see Powell's foot, Johnny. We walk in his place.
Shh, don't answer. Come on. Muggsy's got the car waiting in the alley. We're going for a little ride, sweetheart. You and me and Muggsy. But only me and Muggsy's coming back.
Say, Johnny, you ain't going to cause any real trouble out of Powell's, are you? Johnny, do you hear me? I said you're not going to cause any... Johnny? Johnny, where are you? Johnny!
All right, Big John, last stop. Get up. Come on.
Okay, Paul.
Which way do we take him, boss?
Straight ahead, through them bushes, Muggsy.
Okay, you start walking.
Hurry up. Walk faster.
Well, I can't through these bushes.
Go on. Quit stalling.
Well, look, Paul,
Let's make a deal. You can have the rackets. I'll get out of town.
Sorry, sweetheart. Your big mistake was never coming back.
You're taking a big chance rubbing me out. You'll get the hot seat if... Hey, Powell! Look at that!
Why, what's that?
Hey, what the...
That was a trick. Quick, after
him. That nicked him.
Come, he goes. Come on.
Wait, boss. He went that way.
You dope. He went through here. Come on.
Well, which way now? You see him anywhere?
No, boss. You know what I think?
Well, Muggsy?
I think we lost him.
Gee, what do you know? I'm dead and I'm in heaven.
Rest easy, my son.
Hey, you St. Pete?
Oh, no. No, I'm merely the Brother Superior. This is the monastery of the Little Brothers of the Flowers.
Monastery? What? Then this ain't heaven and I ain't dead?
No, you're very much alive, my son. We found you 2 nights ago outside our gate, terribly hurt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember now. Philadelphia Powell and Muggsy took me... How long can I stay here?
Until you are well and strong again.
You know who I am?
No.
Did you never see my picture in the papers?
We don't have newspapers here.
Oh. Look, I ain't got no dough.
We don't ask a man who or what he has if he needs help. What we were, rich or poor, big or small, good or bad, doesn't matter here.
Say, that's okay. That's all right. You think I'm going to like this journey?
I hope so.
Yes, okay. Then A1 hideout. But look, you can't run a racket like this set up without some dough. What's the graft here?
What's that? Oh, well, we raise flowers and sell them in the city.
Not bad. Suppose your boys cut up a nice profit, huh?
No. You see, what we clear, and lately it's been very little, we give to the poor.
Oh, yeah? What a daffy way to run a business. Say, how does a guy go about joining up with this outfit?
It's fairly easy. First you become a novice, and then after that...
Wait a minute. What are you? You become a what?
A novice. Well, a beginner. They don't take vows, but they're not permitted to go outside the walls. And a novice must obey my few rules.
Any other catches?
That's about all.
Okay, when can I sign up?
You mean you want to join?
Certainly. The safest spot I know.
Very well. But you'll have to adopt a new name.
It's okay. Just call me Butter Lucky.
Lucky? Oh, well, I'm very much afraid the name Lucky wouldn't be acceptable to the other brothers.
Oh, okay. What's in the name? Let me think now. See, Hey, I got it. You said this joint had something to do with flowers, didn't you?
Yes, but I don't
see... Look. You see, you know what my favorite posy is? Orchids. Orchids! So from now on, that's gonna be my new moniker, Brother Superior. Slip me the Duke. Introduce me to the mob as Brother Orchid.
And so our Gulf Curtain falls on Act One of Brother Orchid. We have our usual brief moment of intermission, and what better way to fill the moment here in the Star's Own Theater than to listen to a word about the movie? All right, Bud.
Folks, you know how every once in a while some particular movie arouses a lot of enthusiasm. Your friends tell you how good it is, how much they've enjoyed it, and you know the actors or actresses starring in it by reputation. Well, nonetheless, the only sure way to find out how good that movie is to see it. Well, in much the same way, you probably already know the Gulf Oil Company and the products it puts out by reputation. But it's only when you try those products yourself in your own car that you learn for sure how good they are. So why not drive over to your neighborhood Good Gulf dealer's tomorrow and have him fill up your tank with Gulf No-Nox gasoline. Find out for yourself how quickly Gulf No-Nox starts, what smooth economical performance it gives you, and have your neighborhood Gulf dealer fill up your crankcase with that free-flowing Gulf Pride motor oil. See if your engine doesn't turn over easier when it's cold. See if it doesn't end a lot of worry about upkeep. Yes, folks, we ask you to test Gulf's motor products yourself in your own car because we know that you, like thousands of other motorists, will be delighted with them. So stop tomorrow at your neighborhood Good Gulf dealers for Gulf No-Nox gasoline and Gulf Pride motor oil.
And now the curtain of the Gulf Theater is ready to rise on the second act of Brother Orchid, starring Carol Landis as the girl, Flo Adams, Donald Crisp as the Brother Superior, and Pat O'Brien as Big John Sarto.
6 weeks have passed, and Big John Sarto is now the novice, Brother Orchid, in the monastery of the Little Brothers of the Flowers. Quite content with the peace and security of his hideout, he's made no attempt to communicate with Flo and goes happily about the tasks assigned him by the Brother Superior. As the scene opens, we find them both with Hildegard, the only lady in the place.
You know what, Brother Superior? I think this cow loves me.
I do believe you're right, Brother Orchid. No one has ever been able to get as much milk from Hildegard as you.
Well, it's just a sight and touch I got, that's all.
Oh, it must be more than that, Brother Orchid. You've been with us only 6 weeks, yet no matter what you attempt, you do it so much better than we who have been here for years.
Well, you boys don't want to get discouraged. I always was just a little better than the other guy. The only reason I ain't conceited is because I found it out when I was young.
Yes, but I'm still puzzled. Why, I milked Hildegard myself for years, and do what I might, she yielded only 12 quarts a day. Yet from the very first time you milked her, she'd given 16.
Well, pal, I'll tell you. I just put a little more into my wake, and I get a little more out.
Well, you must be rewarded for your diligence. Brother Orchid, you know what I'm going to do.
No, what?
Beginning tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you...
Yeah, go on.
I'm going to give you a zinnia bed to cultivate all by yourself.
Zinnia bed?
Yes, a zinnia bed for your very own.
That's good, huh?
Why, yes, yes. Why, zinnias earn most of our money in the flower markets at this time of year. You will have a grave responsibility.
No kidding?
This is the highest award ever given to a novice.
Boy, am I a happy guy.
Now I must go and tell the other brothers. You have set a record, Brother Orchid. 492 quarts of milk from Hildegard in a month. Goodness only knows what you can do when you get among the zinnias. You have a divine touch, Brother Orchid. A divine touch.
Gee, did you hear that, Hildegard? Yeah, they graduated me. See, they're a swell bunch of guys. I gotta be on a level with them. You know what, Hildegard? You know what? From now on, I'm only gonna spike your milk bucket with 2 quarts of water instead of 3. Oh, the flowers in the dell. The flowers in the dell. I owe the Mario, the zinnias, what the owners. Good morning, Brother Superior.
Were you about to use violent language, my son?
No, I was just singing. These naughty, naughty bugs is nibbling on my zinnias.
You must pray and pray, Brother Orchid.
Pray, sure. Look, Brother Superior, how about getting these zinnias to market? They're all ripe.
Yes, I know. But we're having some trouble in the city, my son.
What kind of trouble?
Well, they refused to buy our flowers this morning. I really don't know what we're going to do, Brother Orchid.
What do you mean, those mugs ain't going to buy my zinnias? Why, these here flowers is brought up like babies. I dug up the ground, raked it, planted it, pulled the weeds. Even come out here at night sometimes, thinking maybe they wanted a drink.
I know. I know, Brother Orchid. You've been like a father to them. But I'm afraid all your work has been in vain. I'm sorry. Very, very sorry.
Well, if this ain't the nuts. Guy gets himself a bed of zinnias and nobody wants him. Got a good mind to pull him up and feed him to Hildegard.
Hey, you with the hoof?
Go on, beat it, lady. I got trouble.
I've lost the mug. Where's Mr. 13?
Beat it, I said. Don't bother me. I could... Flo!
What?
Flo! Flo, don't you know me? It's Big John.
Don't give me that. I... Johnny! Oh, John.
All right, all right. Now, don't faint. Come on, snap out of it.
Oh, it really is you. Yannicka. Oh, gee, I feel just like a guy jumping rope in my stomach. Hey, wait a minute. I never saw you wearing a thing like that before. What did it do with the potatoes?
This ain't a potato sack. It's a uniform.
You could sure fool me. So this is where you've been hiding for the last 6 months. Oh, I've missed you so much. You heel. Gee, why didn't you write me? When are you coming back to town?
I ain't never coming back. I got a cow and some zinnias to take care of.
Johnny, you ain't gone crazy, have you?
No, I ain't going crazy.
But cows and zinnias,
all right, never mind all that, honey. Give me all the news. And you got to beat it, kid, because... Well, us brothers ain't allowed to talk to dames. Come on, what's going on in town? What about Philadelphia Power?
Oh, he's still running all the rackets. He's got lots of new ones, too.
Such as what?
Yep. Well, he's cracked down the fruit peddlers.
Yeah, what else?
And the newsboys.
No kidding.
And the cigar stand.
Yeah.
And the florist.
He sure is getting rid of the what?
The florist.
Why, that two-timing, double-crossing snake.
Well, what's the matter, John?
What's the matter? Philadelphia Powell is the reason I can't sell my zinnias. He can't do this to me. Zinnias is my territory. Move over. I'm getting in that car.
Well, but Johnny, you said you was never coming back.
I'll tear that mug apart, petal by petal. I was mean to a poor defenseless flower. It's too mean to live. Come on, start the car and get going. I got planting to do. And the guy what's going to get planted is Philadelphia Powell. Suit 748, suite 74 is Powell Protective Association. This is the dump we want, Flo. Come on.
Hey, what's the idea of busting in here?
We want to see Philadelphia Powell.
Oh, don't see nobody without an appointment. What's the name?
Brother Orchid.
Yeah, I suppose her name's Petunia. Now listen, wise guy.
I hate guys what think they're comical. Come on, Flo, let's try to throw my private...
Here and see your office is private.
Yeah, it says so right on the door. Can't you read?
We're here to see Philadelphia Powell.
The name's Brother Orchid.
Huh? Don't you hear that slug? His name's Brother Orchid.
Yeah, ain't that sweet? Mine's Lily at the Wiley.
Sure, and I am Geranium.
And here is a couple of dandelions. Yeah. Now, maybe they'll be ashamed of themselves when they wake up. We're talking that way about pretty flowers that never done nobody no harm. Stick here, Flo. I'm going to try that office. It says strictly private.
Get out of here. What's the idea? Big John Sardo.
But you're dead. You got to be dead.
Hello, pal. Kind of surprised to see me.
Yeah? You're a ghost. You got to be a ghost.
Sure, I got to be a ghost. I am a ghost, and I come back to haunt you right out of town.
Now, look, Big John, I didn't mean to put the finger on you. That was all a big mistake.
That ain't what I'm here about.
Oh, no?
I've been happy, see? Happier than I've ever been in my whole life. I've been living with guys that don't even know that guys like you's on earth. They're quiet and peaceful. Always thinking of somebody else, helping somebody else. And now you and your mugs have stepped in to make a tough run.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
I'm talking about the little brothers of the flowers. And your Florist Protective Association. My boys raise them sterile flowers, see? And the dough they make, which you could put in your eye, they give to the poor. At a place here in town called the Friendly Shelter. And now you hoods ain't going to let them sell their flowers no more unless they cut them in for a percentage.
Now, wait a minute, Big John. Don't be mad at me. Why, I wouldn't have let the boys put the bite on them little brothers of yours if I'd have known what it was all about.
No, you wouldn't, huh? You're breaking my heart.
Why, I wouldn't double-cross you. You know that. I'll call the gang off. You won't have no more trouble, I promise you. Now, let's say no more about it. You know, Big John, you're looking great. This vacation's done you a lot of good. Yes, sir, you're looking swell.
Well, I've been raising zinnias, sir.
Zinnias?
Best looking zinnias you ever saw. Milking a cow named Hildegard. 14 quarts a day she gives. And the dough for that goes into the Friendly Shelter, too.
The Friendly Shelter? Yeah, I heard of that place. That's real charity, Big John.
Big John?
Yeah.
Hey, Big John?
Yeah, Flo.
I've been going through his books out there. Boy, has this guy took the town for a real cleaning.
Hey, what right do you got to go through my books? That ain't ethical.
No, he's right, Flo. You ain't got no right to go through his private papers.
Well, yeah, but you know what? He owns everything from the lost dog racket to a charity bite called the Friendly Shelter.
Well, so what? I ain't... The what?
The Friendly Shelter.
Hey, you double-faced, triple-crossing, yellow...
Now, Big John, I can explain.
You're friendly, Shelly. You're not only been robbing the little brothers, but you've been robbing Hildegard.
Now, get away from me, Big John.
Hildegard's standing out there in the barn day after day, and you stealing her hard-earned gold.
I got a gun, Big John. Get out
Hildegard, a poor little cow with a cut of gold, and you've been robbing our milk pail.
Get back, I tell you.
He's right in here. Stay just a few minutes.
Thank you, nurse. Good morning, Brother Orchid.
Hello, Big John.
Hello, Flo. Brother Superior.
We bring good news, my son.
Yeah, you know what? The doc says you can leave the hospital tomorrow.
He does? Say, that's a nut. The pal don't get out for another week.
The brothers will be so glad to have you back. And Hildegard, too. Why, do you know that during the 3 weeks you've been here in the hospital, she dropped to a mere 8 quarts a day?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess she loves you most as much as I do, Big John. Well, I sure hope you'll be happy together. Oh, I ain't jealous, but I sure wish I was a cow.
Well, you and Hildegard have got the same sweet disposition, Flo.
Oh, gee, Big John, you really mean that?
Certainly I do. But I guess I gotta choose between you. And I guess it's you.
Oh, Big John, you don't mean it.
Certainly. I promise you a choice wedding someday tonight.
Oh, Big John.
Oh, come on, babe. Quit the crying. I ain't that bad.
Brother Orchid, you mean you aren't coming back to the monastery?
No, Brother Superior. Now, look, don't say nothing. Just let me get this off my chest. Like I said before, I never was so happy as I was out there. I was living in a new world, and it was awful swell. But sometimes with a guy like me, your new world and my old world, it don't mix up right.
I understand, my son. Each must make his own life, and if you wish to choose the outside world, that is your business.
Thanks, Brother Superior.
But never forget that in our humble way, we wish you the very utmost in health and happiness, and shall I say, love.
Brother Superior, all my life I thought that class came and go. Swell clothes, big cars. Ah, but I was wrong. It's the little guys. The good little guys like you that are quiet and peaceful. They're the ones that really count.
Yeah, and the ones that always get picked on by the mugs like Philadelphia Powell.
Not no more, they don't. Brother Superior, I kind of made a deal with Philadelphia Powell.
A deal, Brother Orchid? Can it be you're returning to your evil ways?
No, legitimate business proposition. Here's Powell's check for $10,000.
$10,000 what?
10,000 coconuts. It's sort of an advanced charge account. And I hope you can fill the orders as fast as they come in.
Charge account orders? But I don't understand.
What are you talking about, Big John?
It's all very simple. Every one of Philadelphia Powell's mugs is going to carry a card.
A card?
Yeah. That's the business proposition. Now, when any one of them gets bumped off, you got the concession to plant them with zinnias. And don't forget to stamp the card.
I know, ladies and gentlemen, that you want to add your applause to that of the studio audience. For Pat O'Brien, Carol Landis, and Donald Crisp all turned in exceptionally fine performances. And Hollywood is particularly proud of them because their performances tonight were donated, like those of all the stars who appear here in the Gulf Theater. In return, Gulf has contributed generously to the Motion Picture Relief Fund, helping to provide a home for the workers in the picture industry who can no longer provide for themselves. Next week, one of the most sensational casts in Gulf Theater history. A trio of stars you've always wanted to hear together. Bing Crosby, Bob Hope, and Betty Grable. Oh. Yes, you heard correctly. Bob Hope, Bing Crosby, and Betty Grable in the hilarious new comedy called Alterbound. It's all about what happens when Bob, Bing, and Betty go on a South American cruise, with both Bing and Bob posing as Betty's husband. It's one long laugh from beginning to end. We think it's going to be one of the top shows of all time here in the Gulf Theater,
The music, of course, will be by Oscar Bradley's Gulf Orchestra with Frank Tours conducting. So don't let anything keep you from the radio at this time next Sunday night, when the Gulf Theater presents, for the first time together on any radio show, Bing Crosby, Bob Hope, and Betty Grable in Alterbaum.
Matt O'Brien can now be... Carol Landis starts work soon on the Technicolor musical Miami at 20th Century Fox. Donald Fisk has just finished Spain's Victory at Warner's. Remember, 30 minutes of fun you won't want to miss. Bob Hope, Bing Crosby, Betty Grable from the Gulf Theater next Sunday. Bud Easton speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System. Frank Sinatra, transcribed as Rocky Fortune. NBC presents Frank Sinatra, starring as that footloose and fancy-free young gentleman, Rocky Fortune.
This is Rocky Fortune. You know, for a guy who went to school under the L tracks and learned his alphabet off of neighborhood store windows, I'm at the head of a mighty fancy class these days. I signed a new lease on life when I stopped Perry Shane, a Park Avenue legal eagle, from bending down in front of a hot slug poured his way by an ex-con. Perry, being the rich, understanding type, showed his thanks by offering me a process-serving job in his 14-carat law factory. In the workings of my new job, I do not have the ticking of a time clock to affect my sunny disposition. However, on this particular day, my sunny disposition went south. In fact, everything was pouring. The skies and Mr. Shane, who was now pouring himself a slug of something that couldn't possibly be tea.
Come in, Rocky. Sit down.
What's with the early cocktail session? The rain got you down?
No. Matter of fact, I like the rain.
Mr. Shane, I will endanger the morale of your office by being the first employee to accept libation during office hours.
Oh, I'm sorry, Rocky. I just forgot. Please join me.
Well, I don't usually, but since I suggested it, I will.
Here you are.
Thanks. You know something? I wonder how the poor people are making out. Here we are, warm in a mink-lined office, not a worry in the world. Smug as a bug in a rug.
Did you say smug?
That I did. I suddenly heard myself talking, I guess.
Strange you should say that. I was just thinking that about myself.
Problems?
Oh, not mine. A friend. Wonder how you'd handle this.
Well, try me for size.
I can't tell you what the problem is, Rocky. Legally, as an attorney, I should turn it over to the police. Yet it'd break his heart if it did.
Well, can I find out about it from the friend?
It's an idea. You can. Tell you what, Rocky, I'll write down a name and address. Here are the keys to my car. Take it and go right over.
The name and address on the card sent me uptown to a swank number in the 90s. The plush elevator took me to a Doctor's Park Avenue fantasy, nestled high among the 32nd floor hills of solid concrete and mahogany. The name on the card opened the door himself. Dr. Jonas?
Oh, come in, Mr. Fortune. Perry Shane called me about 15 minutes ago. Let's go over here into my study. We'll be more comfortable.
Fine, if I can wade through this rug.
Yes. I just want to make sure of one thing before we go into the study. Excuse me. Stanley? Stanley?
Yes, Dad?
I just wanted to make sure you were in. Make sure you talk to me before you leave.
Don't worry. I'm right here.
That's my son. Everyone else is gone. I wanted to make sure we weren't overheard.
Yeah, it's a real lush layout. You live here too, Doc?
I have the entire floor. I live and office here. Of course, being head of the Witherspoon Clinic, I also office over there. Please sit down.
Thanks. What's on your mind, Doc?
Perry has told you nothing of what's going on?
From where I sit, he's clean. He knows nothing about it.
I suppose it has to be that way. As an attorney, he'd be duty-bound to go to the police.
Maybe I can help get you started. From the way you talk to your son, I figure maybe he's in trouble.
We're both in trouble. I have to inventory next week, and I have no way of explaining the disappearance since I can't account for it in my records.
Disappearance of what, Doctor?
Why, drugs, Mr. Fortune. A large quantity of drugs have been stolen from my cabinets.
So why not call the cops?
Because the thief is my son, Mr. Fortune.
Do you know how much is missing?
Over the past year, I'd say at least $25,000 worth.
Wow. Isn't that a lot of dope for one doc to be stocking?
That's for this office and the clinic. However, it is a ridiculous amount. Additional orders have gone through with my signature forged to them. I found one in my son's room. He's not only a thief, he's a forger as well.
Is he on the stuff?
Of course. He's been on it for quite some time.
Can't you quiet the whole thing by just sending him away for the cure?
If it were only that simple. I have to keep narcotic records, of course. I have to account for everything I prescribe. How can I account for $25,000 worth of drugs in 1 year? The amount is ridiculous.
And that means if you don't put them in the can, you lose your license and you go to jail yourself.
Exactly.
He can't possibly be taking that amount himself.
Of course not. And he refuses to tell me what he's been doing with it.
How about letting me talk to him?
I wish you would. I can't talk to him anymore. I get almost hysterical. I keep wishing that I can't even say it.
Why don't you try? Might ease you off a bit.
My wife died 4 years ago. I keep wishing that he had died instead of her.
Oh, take it easy, Doc. Let me talk to him. So I find out that the streets can be dirty even on Park Avenue. This is for real, the doctor's dilemma. Here's a guy who's got everything in the world to give his kid, and the kid fouls up with the dirtiest mud in the whole world, dope. This boy I put on my list even before I made the talk with him. I shook fins with a wet fish, and he went right to the top of the list.
Mr. Fortune is trying to help you out of your mess. Now try to be civil to him. I'll be in the other room.
Who needs you?
Why, you young...
Take it easy, boys. Make some pictures for an outsider, or maybe something can happen.
Call me if he gives you any trouble.
Since when can you handle me?
Slow down, Junior. If he can't, I can.
Now, look, creep. You want to help somebody, join the Salvation Army.
Here. You didn't dig that kind of jive out of Park Avenue. Where'd you get it?
I have nothing to say to you.
So we'll call the feds, and you'll say it to them.
He wouldn't dare call anyone. Son in jail? Huh.
I guess you'd feel better if your old man went to jail in your place.
What are you talking about?
Exactly what I said. He's got his records to worry about, son. His drug records can't possibly jive since he can't account for all the stuff you swiped. Think it over, Buster.
Well, I didn't think of that.
You didn't think, period. Now, come on, give with some information.
Well, what do you want to know?
That's better. What did you do with most of the stuff you swiped? I mean, outside of what you used yourself.
I sold the stuff at school.
But why? Doesn't the old man give you enough loot?
I guess so. For ordinary expenses.
So what's the extraordinary expenses?
The usual thing. Dates. I played some horses.
And you also maybe needed something stronger than the stuff you swiped from your old man. Something like heroin.
Oh, look, please don't tell my father. He doesn't know yet that it's heroin.
Why don't you stop it, kid? If you're on the kick, get off of it.
I can't. I tried everything.
You tried everything but going to your old man who could cure you.
I couldn't go to my old man for anything. You don't know I'm alive.
All right, take it easy now. Sit down. Dr. Jonas.
Yeah?
Will you come here for a minute? Now, look, kid. When your father gets in here, I'm going to make the same question, and you give me the same answer. Maybe if we blow some of the smoke away, we can get the team together.
You having trouble with my son?
No trouble at all, Doc. Please sit down.
It's an effort to sit in the same room with him.
Well, maybe if you sat in the same room a little more often, this wouldn't have happened.
You two are still on the same team, so act like it, will you? Now, look, just a couple of minutes ago, Doc, I asked your son why he didn't go to you to ask him to kick the heroin.
Heroin? My own son on that filthy habit, and I didn't know it?
That's what I'm getting at. You, a doctor with a son on a rottenest kick of oil, and you haven't seen enough of him to see it.
Where did you get it, Stan? I don't have heroin in my office.
He hasn't told me yet, Doc. But I'll make he buys the stuff with the loot he makes by selling the milder stuff he swipes from you.
Well, why? You have money from your mother's estate?
Doctor, look.
Yes, look. Look at my son, a thief, a forger.
Why do you think he did all of this, Doc?
Who knows why he did it? What would make my own son put me in a position where I would either have to send him to jail or be sent there myself?
I'm sorry, Dad. I never realized about the drug records. You said that... I mean, I didn't know.
I looked at the old man to see if he caught the slip. No action. I looked at the kid. He was beginning to look better. Instead of the wet fish I thought I saw at first, my impression took to the right flank march. This was another poor little rich kid. He could have all the laughs he wanted. But I guess a laugh is kind of empty when nobody home laughs with you. The father was a Frankenstein to his son, and the old man didn't know why. And it was time for the son to get a friend to turn to. I put myself in front of him on what I hoped was the right turn. He played right down the line.
I'm sorry I caused the old man all this trouble.
It's now his middle name, kid, and it's pretty much in your lap to get him out, and yourself, too.
What can I do? Just go to the police?
Nah, he won't be off the hook if you're in the can, kid. He's not a bad guy, you know.
Yes, I guess I know.
Now, look, before we do anything, let's clear up one little miss.
What do you mean?
The name of the dame you were thinking about when your tongue did a tailspin a little while ago.
I wasn't thinking about anybody in particular.
Stan, to bring those words in front of your ears, I make the quotation. You started to say, she said that, and you tried to rub out the statement. Who's the she?
Rocky, I can't involve her. Since Mother died, she's the only friend I've had.
Does she know your father?
Well, of course, but she wouldn't do anything to hurt him.
If she knew about the drug records and let it go on, believe me, she'd hurt him. Is she more important to you than your old man?
I don't know. Why can't I go to the police and confess the whole thing? Why do I have to hurt everybody I love?
The lights went on all over the world. 19 years old and in love with the only gal he could turn to. A gal who knew something about the narcotics record. This the doc must know about. He did.
There's only one girl he can possibly mean, but it never entered my mind that she could be involved. Why, she's been with me ever since she finished her training.
What kind of training? She a nurse?
Of course, my nurse, Miss Carroll.
Young, curvy, nice soft shoulder for the kid to weep on?
I suppose so. Frankly, I never took too much notice.
You know, for a doc, you don't seem to take much notice of anything. Does she keep your drug records?
She keeps them, but she locks them up in my desk drawer.
Where can we find this Miss Carroll, Doctor?
I sent her home, so I suppose we can find her there. Do you really think she's gotten him involved in this?
Well, he's a very young and tender 19. And he thinks he's in love, and you can make book that this Carroll is the object of his affections.
If that's the case, let's get the police after her.
The feds are awful careful about how doctors use the narcotic supplies. If an order is out of line, they investigate. So with the amount of stuff Junior had faked as coming to Park Avenue address, it couldn't have been possible to get away with it. Some of it had to be sent to another spot they could get at. That spot could be the clinic. The finger was right in Carol's eye. As the doc put the finger in Miss Carroll's doorbell.
Who is it?
Dr. Jonas, Miss Carroll.
Well, just a minute, Doctor. I'll slip into a robe.
Tell her it's come as you are, party. We'll save time.
Time is something we have very little of. Both narcotic inventories must be made next week and sent in.
Check. If she's up to her neck, she's got to move out before then, right?
Right.
So, we see which way she moves when we give her a real strong arm to use. Incidentally, let's keep the confab low out here. Play this cool and follow the leader. Just don't be thrown by anything I might come up with.
Sometimes I don't quite understand your language, Rocky, but I do understand the things you've pointed out. I know now how I've failed as a father.
Well, if my plan works, at least you'll have made up for part of it. The kid's on the kick. We know he's his Ford's orders, but we don't know everything. Since he feels he's in love with his baby, could be playing hero.
Yes, but no matter what happens, I know he has to pay for what he's done.
Shh, careful.
Sorry to keep you waiting, Doctor. I didn't know anyone was with you. Come in, please.
Well, thank you, Miss Carroll. This is Mr. Fortune.
How do you do, Mr. Fortune?
It's nice to see you, Miss Carroll. And I do mean nice.
Thank you very much. Won't you have a chair?
Sorry to intrude at your home, Miss Carroll, but this man has come to me with some very...
alarming news.
Really? Concerning me?
News about you would be a three alarm.
How quaint.
I told the doc here news about his junior. News that's worth dough to me. He said he wouldn't pay it till he talked it over with you. I said, fine, as long as I sit in on the chat. Start chatting, Doc.
Mr. Fortune tells me my son is on heroin. Did you know that, Miss Carroll?
So you finally know. Yes, I've known about it for months now. I knew it'd break your heart, and I've been doing everything possible to get him off it. I even promised to arrange a quiet cure for him.
It's a little late for that, sweetie. How quiet the deal is depends on how the doc acts.
What do you mean?
I mean the kid's been peddling, too.
That's impossible.
I said he's been peddling. I know, because he peddled to me. Of course, I ain't interested in the chicken stuff he steals from his old man and sells. I only got time for the stronger stuff he uses himself.
Do you mean he's been stealing narcotics from the office? I refuse to believe it.
Doc, did I show you pictures of the kid handing the stuff over to me?
It's true, Miss Carroll. I've seen the pictures.
But Stanley's on heroin. We have no heroin either at the office or at the clinic. Do you know where he gets it?
I don't care about that. I'm only interested in my son. I'll see to it that he gets off the filthy stuff, but I can't have him treated as a common addict. I'll pay any amount of money to keep it quiet until he's cured.
And wise of you to say that, Doctor, in front of a blackmailer.
Now look, sister, get one thing straight. I don't like the dirty money, so don't give me the blackmail bit. I'm on the stuff, and I admit it. I've been on it a long time, and it costs real dough. And I need the dough to keep me on it. Have you got any ideas on how I can get this stuff? I'll let the doc off the hook.
Doctor, you said you would pay any amount of money to keep this quiet.
Of course I will. You think I want to see my son like this man? Willing to lie, cheat, steal? Do anything because he has to have the stuff? I'll pay every cent I have.
Well, why don't you let me talk to this man, Doctor? Perhaps I can help.
Tell you what, Doc. I'll hold the picture as long as I get the stuff. If the little lady here helps me, fine. In the meantime, don't call me. I'll call you. I felt like giving the doc an Oscar for falling in with the line I was pushing out. Now it was up to me to keep the little lady entertained till he got back to Junior and gave him the lowdown. I was pretty sure of one bit. Papa had much more chance of getting Junior to listen to him now. But the kid had to be tipped before she got to him, and she was bound to call as soon as she was alone. So I had to keep steady company with this chick till Junior learned the facts of life. The doc took the hint and left us alone. Charm school went to work.
You said all you wanted out of your negotiation is to be able to get the stuff you need?
Long as I get what I need, I make like a mummy, but I hold on to the picture.
What will you take to let loose of the picture?
I already told the old man. $10,000 in cash.
You'll give up the negative if I get $10,000 for you?
Well, the doc brought me here, but no reason why I can't do business with you.
I'll go to the bank first thing in the morning. You have the negative here by 10:30 a.m. I'll tell the doctor I won't be in tomorrow until 11:15.
Cutting yourself in a little bit, huh?
I'm looking after the doctor's interest. If you go near him again, I'll see to it that you don't get a cent.
Don't worry about me, sister. As long as I get that dough, I'll be able to get all the stuff I need. That's all I want.
Oh, stop whining and beat
it. Okay, don't get mad. Please don't get mad. I'll have that negative here at 10:30. Honest, I will. Now, if the kid isn't too far involved, we're in business. So far, it looked like the little lady was taking all the bait we tossed out. The lady also had to work fast because she must know her little game is over when the inventory's taken. In the meantime, I had to deliver a negative in the morning. Stan and I looked at the birdie in a home-sized camera, took the negs to a friendly photographer, and in the morning I would be set with this item. Next, I had to have a heart-to-heart with the kid. By this time, he was willing to spill.
I never even saw the extra stuff that came to the office and the clinic.
But I thought you said you sold it to the kids, you know.
He only said that because he thought he was protecting her. Right, son?
Well, that's right, Dad. I just wanted to confess to the whole thing to keep her name out of it. I guess I've been a fool about everything. Her, too.
Well, if you've reached the age of 19 and have only been a fool over one woman, I'm proud of you.
Those words are nice music to my ears, Doc, but we got a long road to haul before we're out of the wood. This little cookie's been plenty smart. She had Stanley forge your name to those orders, and that's still a big federal offense.
That means I'll still go to jail.
Somebody's got to take the rap when that true inventory's taken next week. You could still be that somebody. Both father and son looked pretty ragged when I told them that, but at least they were now standing together. What happened depended on what the chick did after I gave her the phony picture negative. I didn't know any of the narcotics gang, so I figured I'd better not have them in on a party that just might not come off. Better I should have my pal, Sergeant Finger, and let him bring them in. A call to him set his part of the plan.
Even on Park Avenue, you can't stay out of the soup.
Finger, look. The kid only went wrong because of the old man. How many kids do you know where this happens? Play along with me and give the kid a break.
Smart guy. You know I got 6 kids. What else can I do?
Wonderful. Now look, we're all set now. You bug the doc's office and set up in the apartment below. I already got permission from the people who live there.
You're awful sure of me. I hope you're as sure of what's going to happen.
I'm not sure. It's a chance. It's his only chance. What's the idea of the army, Finger? I thought you weren't going to bring narcotics till we knew whether we were right or wrong.
Whether you were right or wrong, Rocky, you don't monkey with the feds. Somebody goes to the pokey. We're set up now so we can hear everything that's said in the doctor's office.
I know. And if Carol says what I hope she says, the kid's in the clear. If not...
If not, they take in the kid with the girl.
I was just hoping I'd get a chance for another brainstorm, if I'm wrong. I give her the picture and the neg, and she knows the time is up when that inventory goes in. Now, if she only makes the move. So we listen.
This is all a little difficult for me to understand.
Nothing difficult about it, Doctor. You said you'd pay any amount of money to keep your son out of jail. I'm offering you the out.
I've changed my mind about that, Miss Carroll. If my son has been selling narcotics to other juveniles, I'm afraid he must be prosecuted.
Look, Doctor, your son is guilty of one thing. He forged your name to those orders. Of course, he's also an addict.
You mean my son did not steal any of the narcotics? He did not sell them?
I controlled the whole setup. I supplied him with the stuff he used himself. I did the whole thing. And I know the time's short now. If he sold some stuff to this fortune, it couldn't have been much. But I now have the proof. And I'm holding the proof until you give me the money I need to get out of the country.
Then you mean you're willing to take the blame for everything if I turn over 100,000 cash?
That's right. I'll have that money plus what I've been making throughout the year on the sale of the other stuff. I'm willing to admit my game, sir.
Move in and take all this down, boys. And then you can move upstairs and take her.
It worked out exactly as you thought, Rocky, but I'm still in the dark as to how you figured her actions.
Well, the time for the kid was short. Just 1 week and the whole thing would be discovered. But the time was just as short for her. She had to get out. So when we dreamed up that picture of the kid selling the stuff to me and you said you'd pay anything to keep him in the clear, well, she figured she'd buy it from me at $10,000 to sell it to you for $100,000. Then she gives you the bit that the whole thing can be blamed on her when the shortage is discovered.
And being lost in some part of the world with enough money to last a lifetime, why, she knew she'd be safe.
Exactly.
And she only had him sign the fake signature to keep a stronger hold on him.
Right again.
Now, if we can only straighten out Stan, what do you think will happen with him?
Well, first thing, since he's got a father again, Shane thinks he'll get a suspended sentence. He'll get the cure, and that's that. You know, if you'd only have realized one thing, this probably wouldn't have happened to the kid at all.
And what's that?
Well, when your wife died, you lost a wife, your son lost a mother.
You're right. That's when I went to pieces and failed him. Funny that coming from you. Your language doesn't sound like a college man. Your logic does.
That's easy, too, Doc. You see, the school where I learned my logic, they don't teach language.
NBC has presented Frank Sinatra as that footloose and fancy-free young gentleman, Rocky Fortune. Others in tonight's cast included Maurice Hart, Raymond Burr, Jack Carroll, Georgia Ellis, and Barney Phillips. Tonight's script was written by Norm Sickle. Andrew C. Love directed. Now, to tell you about next week's adventure, here's Frank Sinatra as Rocky Fortune.
According to the statistics, the average joker can expect to annoy the census taker until he's about 66. Next week, I'll tell you about a friend of mine who advised me to take out life insurance because you couldn't trust these figures. And to prove his point, he produced a fresh corpse. I'll tell you about it next week. See you around.
Enjoy Fibber, McGee, and Molly tonight on the NBC Radio Network.
That's it for this episode of the Relic Radio Show. I'll be back on Relic Radio tomorrow with a new episode from Case Closed. Between now and then, you can find past episodes of this show, More Old Time Radio, and everything Relic Radio at RelicRadio.com. You'll find all the other podcasts, our Shoutcast stream, and a donate button if you'd like to help support this and all the shows. Your donations make this all possible. Thanks, as always, to those who have. Thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next Tuesday with another episode of the Relic Radio Show. The Relic Radio Show is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.